Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our Bosch Rexroth Tech Podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and my guest today is Dr. Thomas Finken. Thomas, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Hello.
Please, before we start talking about E-Lion and your electric drives, introduce yourself briefly to the listeners.
Okay. My name is Thomas Finken. I'm with Bosch Rexroth since 10 years now. My technical background is electrical engineering.
Okay.
This is what I did and followed by a PhD study regarding this topic, yeah, electrical machines.
So your heritage is industrial automation?
This is what I started with here, but since 8 years now, I've been busy and dealing with the electrical machines for mobile machinery.
Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about electric drive solutions by Bosch Rexroth, and we already had an episode with Peter, and he explained the basics. And now we want to go a little bit more into details. On one hand, the mechanics, and on the other side, the electric magnetic. So let's please start with the mechanics. What is so special with your electric drive solutions?
Yeah, so the main and crucial issues we have with our design and our specifications is that we are developing a development for a heavy duty. Heavy duty means that we are facing heavy environmental loads, such as mechanical loads, shock and vibration, that there is a huge range of temperatures we are facing. And of course, the tightness of the motor is suitable to withstand all the conditions that you may think of environmental usage of a mobile machine. Yeah, so water, spray water, splash water, ice water, splashes, water immersion.
But the main topic is vibration, right?
This is the main topic, and this is totally different to what we are used to in industrial motors, industrial applications. So shock and vibration, yes. So we are talking about a 10G vibration.
10G?
10G vibration and shocks as a single shock up to 50G.
Mm-hmm.
Single shocks means specification is that we are testing with 3 shocks per axis with 50G. And recurrent shocks of 25G, and this is what we are testing 1,000 times per axis.
I want to talk a little bit about testing and engineering this housing, and how do you proceed? What have you done in case of material, design, test setup, inner workings? How do you proceed?
From the very beginning, we started with simulations, structural mechanical simulations, to start with maybe harmonic analysis to learn about the eigenfrequencies, and those results then were used to especially calculate those vibration loads specified, those 10G, in the range of the eigenfrequency. So then you know that in this resonance, the load is worst case.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you accelerate on your A side of the motor, which is the flange, all those mechanical loads are introduced into the motor displace. Yeah, you know that on the B side of the motor, and at the other end, you have tenfold, 20-fold those accelerations. Yeah, that you feed into the motor on the A side.
But how you handle that?
This is mechanical strength, how to overcome those issues, yeah. But we started with a simulation to keep the testing effort and the sampling effort as low as possible.
Testless.
Yeah. So many, many simulations done, but you can do simulations for all as long as you don't know that this is the right thing that you're simulating and calculating. It's worth nothing. So in the end of each sample phase, we did many testing efforts to evaluate simulation models we have.
You tested this in LOR here?
This was done in external test labs all over Germany because there are only few shakers available.
Shakers is other machines, testing machines.
This is a testing machine to test the shock and vibration. And our machines are heavy and the shock load is high and the vibration load is high. So there are only few shakers available who could test this. And so we were forced to do those tests in external test labs.
Can you please describe some problems you recognized when you start simulating or testing and what you changed during the development process?
So most severe problems we had were those resonances I named before. Yeah. So in case of resonance, the resulting acceleration within the complete body structure of the motor was so high that we experienced many failures. Yeah. So broken screws, leakages in the housing, broken structures. So we had to do a lot of iteration loops to overcome those issues. Yeah. Strengthening the bolts, strengthening the...
Was it a surprise for you?
This was a surprise in that way that we underestimated those resonances, yeah, and all those forces and stresses that occur during sinusoidal vibration. Yeah, yes, that was a surprise.
That was a surprise. Okay, but what is now the USP of the Bosch Rexroth housing? I would call it. What is so special now when you look at the market? What is the difference to other companies? What you have to offer?
So I would say, in terms of the housing, it's the mechanical strength, yeah, okay. The overall mechanical strength. We evaluated many, many applications and standards, and we specified an envelope function covering all those applications, yeah, to have a motor with a robust design that is suitable to withstand all loads you can think of in mobile machinery.
Let's talk about the electric magnetic. What is different, or which customer pain do you solve there?
So, yeah, in the very beginning, we were thinking of and discussing what would be the right motor to design. And there are many, many options. Our target was to develop a motor that is suitable for traction drives, yeah, as a main application. As well, of course, for all the others. But if you could handle the traction, you could handle all other applications as well. So, and what's so special about traction? If you think of a working machine, a heavy working machine, that want to accelerate, maybe on a slope, full loaded, you need high torques at low speed to accelerate the vehicle from a standstill to end speed. So high torque at low speed. But on the other
hand...
But
this is different. They're difficult.
This is, yeah. But this is most motors aim to have as most torque as possible. Yeah. This is what I would have done 10 years ago as well. Yeah. But on the other hand, you know that...
It's a new paradigm.
The speed is different because each vehicle must reach a maximum speed as well. So, and having at this maximum speed as much as power as possible is a requirement that describes the traction or the motor used for traction applications. Yeah. So we're talking about the constant power speed range, describing this range of speeds of the motor, starting from the rated speed, the edge speed, up to the maximum speed of the motor. And our specification is to have within this speed range minimum of 80% of the rated power as an output still. And the ratio from rated speed to maximum speed, this is specified for our motors of a ratio of 1:4 is the ratio of rated speed to maximum speed. This is a design criteria that we defined as a traction drive, and this is what we fulfilled in the end. Yeah.
How do you manage that? What is the under the hook? What you did there?
So the main topic there is, of course, the electromagnetic design. When thinking of the torque, which is proportional to the magnetic flux and the current, if you want to increase the torque density, you have two options. First, to increase the current, or on the other hand, the magnetic flux. The current often is limited by a system, meaning battery or the inverter. The limits of the current. So what can you do is to increase the magnetic flux. But if you increase the magnetic flux, we may have a problem at higher speeds, because rotational field of the rotor induces voltages to the stator winding. And once you reach the voltage limit, you cannot further increase the speed without decreasing the rotor flux, the magnetic flux. So this is done by so-called field weakening. So you feed a current into the stator of the machine that counteracts the rotor field, so the electromagnetic field of the rotor. But the current you use for field weakening is not available anymore for torque. And therefore, the torque decreases over speed.
Okay. Yeah? Yep.
So, and the more flux, magnetic flux you have in the motor, the more current you need for field weakening.
But how do you search for optimum? How do you optimize this?
This is done within the design process. So multi-target optimizations are used for those.
Algorithms. Yeah. Yep. To optimize the
plan. Exactly. And this is a compromise between this large constant power speed range and high torque densities. Yeah.
But this is now a common product, right? The motor. Maybe you can go into niches and have special applications and you will change the whole solution once again.
Of course. Yeah. And this is what we're doing right now as well. Because the traction motor, as I said before, is a compromise between torque density and high speed. Now, thinking of applications where you don't need those high speeds, for example, pumps, when driving pumps for working hydraulics, hydraulic pumps' maximum speed is up to 3,000 maybe RPM. That means you don't need an electrical machine with that high rotational speeds or maximum speeds. So, in this case, you need a motor with higher torques, high continuous torques, as high as possible, without any constant power speed range, so or very small ones. Yeah. So in this case, this could be a completely different design as what we have today. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
But the housing stays the same.
Housing would be the same. So we can see those as an option. So the internal electromagnetic parts, the active parts, as an option, one for the pump drive, one for the traction drive, and the housing as option as well. Yeah. So heavy duty or standard duty with reduced loads, mechanical loads, less shock and vibration loads.
At the end, I also want to talk a little bit about export, because we have special export rules talking about dual use, and there you have maybe some problems with the inverter. How do you handle this topic?
This was a specification that affected our electromagnetic design as well. As you said, the dual use is a limitation when thinking of inverters with output frequencies higher than 600 hertz. Yeah, so for those you need an export control,
it's very difficult.
This is difficult to reach, much effort. Yeah. So our target was to develop electrical machines for those that you don't need inverters with output frequencies higher than 600 hertz. And as the frequency is proportional to speed and the pole pair number, so the number of poles in the electrical machines, that was a reason to reduce and have a limit to the number of poles. In our case,
it's also a compromise, once again.
This is a compromise as well. Yeah. So thinking of the motors for the pump, for example, those are with higher pole pair numbers, as you don't need those high speeds. Yeah. And then the 600 hertz limit allows higher pole numbers, as the speed is not that high.
Thomas, what is coming? What is the team working on? Or is everything solved?
So, no, it's not solved. No. Today, we have some motors in production, start of production. We had with some of those motors of our portfolio. What we are doing right now and what we are working on is the electromagnetic design of the active parts for pump motors. We have different sizes available of our motor portfolio for different sizes in diameter. And for almost all of them, we are developing pump motors or motors dedicated to higher torques.
Okay. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye.